Well, good morning, Real Life Chapel. Guys, glad you came to church today. So today we are celebrating the second Sunday in the Advent season. And each week we kind of focus on one attribute of God that is really represented or presented, if you will, in the birth of Christ and the story of Christ. Hope. Love being the focus of today, joy and peace. You know, in my own life, love is an inspiring, confusing, intriguing, motivating force. I don't know if you have shared this experience. My life is filled with a variety of expressions of love, right? Variety expressions of love that come with a bunch of different experiences and emotions. And, you know, just thinking about the range of those expressions and experiences and emotions, you know, I was just thinking back on even this year, you know, this past year. You know, Laura Lee and I celebrated 30 years of marriage earlier this year, you know. Yeah, she will accept those applause gladly. But at the same time, again, because we have these variety of emotions, you know, we celebrated 30 years of marriage while we were recovering from open heart surgery, right? So things aren't all, you know, there's a variety, there's a whole range of stuff we go through. Even within this past week, you know, we've experienced diverse expression and emotion. You know, Wednesday morning, you know, early Wednesday morning, we had to say goodbye, you know, to our companion of 13 years, Mr. Froda. You know, and that was devastating. You know, and but yet this weekend, we're celebrating my daughter's 30th birthday. Right? So, you know what I mean? So even within a week span, you know, you have this whole breadth of expression. An emotion that goes on. And yeah, if you're thinking about it, right, 30 years of marriage, his daughter's 30. We weren't really good at math, but we weren't following Jesus at the time either, so I don't know what your issue is, but anyway. And then there's the grandkids, right? And any of us who have them. That's a whole other expression of emotion, you know, and love and an experience. So we all have this, and I hope you get the picture that in any one person's life, there's this whole range, right? Diverse things. So I'm going to assume, I'm going to guess, I'm going to take a risk that you all have experienced some of those very same things, right? And as I've mentioned different things, maybe different individuals, something fired for you. You know, because you've experienced that or you're experiencing that. And all the expressions, you know, of love in our lives. I know you've experienced that. And all the emotions that come with it, right? From celebration to heartbreak, right? We've all experienced that. If you haven't, keep living. It's coming, right? Just so you know. Not trying to be a downer, just trying to tell you, you know, that's the way it is. But the greatest expression of love that we will ever experience is wrapped up in the Christmas story. It's the Christ story, right? That's what it's about. So I got to ask you a question. I want you to think, right? Don't like you to come to church and turn your brains off. I want you to think about this. Have you ever thought of the story of Mary and Joseph? Have you ever thought of it as a love story? Right? Some people have, maybe. So I think some of us haven't. We don't think of it as a love story. Now, I'm sure that, you know, their story, if we could strip away all of the things that have been added to it and placed on it and associated with it through all kinds of different cultures and through the lenses that we've created, you know, and placed on it, if we could strip all that away and get to the reality of that story, you know, there were a lot of different cultural norms that were at play, different cultural practices. There were a whole lot of different social conventions at play in their story than our very own kind of setting today, right? And so I'm not going to go into all of that, but just suffice it to say it was a very different scenario than you and I would readily experience when it comes to marriage, when it comes to proposal, when it comes to courting or dating or this kind of thing. But even so, within all of those differences, there was still expectation and anticipation. It was still a time for them that would have been filled with emotion and all kinds of different expression. I want us to just take a quick look into this morning. In Luke chapter 1, you'll find these verses on the screen. They're actually in your program as well. And, last week when we talked about hope, we kind of peered into the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, right? And the foretelling of the birth of John the Baptist. And so we're going to continue a little further into this story. And Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 28 says this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel. He was in our story last week. He shows up again. To Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman." Right? The Lord is with you. Now, again, I'm not going to go into all of this stuff, but here we are. Gabriel showed up last week. Remember in the story when he tells Zechariah that he and Elizabeth are going to have a son, and Zechariah doesn't buy it at first, right? What? We're old. We can't do it. And Gabriel's like, man, do you know who I am? Right? Do you know who I am is? That's the guy I work for, right? And so, if I tell you something, you better do it. So being you didn't, you're going to shut up. And then we had the original sign language from the Bible, right? Because he came out, couldn't speak, had to write a sign. And that started. But, so here we are. Gabriel shows up again, and this time to see Mary. Now, they're already engaged, right? They're already, all these things are going on. People know. There's all kinds of announcements that have already been made. There's expressions and emotions that are at play. And Gabriel shows up and visits Mary, this young teenage girl, right? And gives her the great news that she's pregnant. You're going to be pregnant. This engaged teenage girl, right? You're pregnant. But it was good news, and we know that to be true. But it had to be, in many, many ways, terrifying to her. Because now she got to tell Joseph. Have you thought about that? Have you ever thought about in the midst of this beautiful love story that all of a sudden you have received the word that you're pregnant, and now you need to go tell the man who you're betrothed to that you're pregnant, but it's good. Right? Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. As he considered this, so we're jumping in the middle of the conversation of the dialogue, right? Joseph has since received the news from Mary. As he considered this, because he was considering of taking her away, right? Divorcing quietly, not trying to present a scandal or a shame. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Guess who it was? Right? Gabriel had to get tired of these people. I'm just thinking, because he's showing up telling people stuff. They don't like what he's got to say. Half the time, they don't believe him, right? He's probably like, But anyway, says this, Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So now we got Gabriel and Joseph in this scenario, and now he's been given confirmation And that's a loving God. In the midst of this love story, love so much that he sends the angel to give the good news to Mary, but he also knows Joseph's going to need a supernatural measure of information and grace and love to get through this. And so now you know what we got, right? Mary had to tell Joseph. Now Joseph has to put his big boy pants on, right? Because he knows he's going to be facing, right? He's going to tell his neighbors and family and friends, hey, Mary's pregnant, but it's all right. It's good. It's God's baby. Right? I mean, right? So you talk about experiencing expressions of love. You talk about emotions being involved in the midst of a love story. But here's the great thing that we find out, that we know because we're on this side of it. They trusted God. Right? They took him at his word and they trusted him. So how about you? How about you? Are you experiencing right now an expression or emotion that requires your trusting in God? Right? I don't know what your scenario or your situation is. You walked in this door today. But as we're approaching Advent season, as we're approaching this Christmas season, are you sitting here having come here this morning, and are you facing some kind of situation, some kind of scenario, some kind of challenge, some kind of experience includes emotion that's requiring you to trust in God? Whatever the need or circumstance, I want you to know this, that God's perfect love was and is expressed in Jesus Christ. Right? His perfect love is with us. He is with us. Jesus is with us, Emmanuel. And so, we light the second candle on the Advent wreath this morning, because this week is the focus of love. So the Advent wreath, something that we practice as a tradition here at Real Life Chapel. For those of you, maybe you're new to this or you're less familiar, you know it's a wreath, and again, the wreath of evergreen that represents the eternal life, an unbroken circle, four candles on the perimeter, speak to the 400 years of silence, right, between the words of the prophets in the Old Testament until good news that Emmanuel is on the way. And each week we light a candle. There's three purple ones, right, speaking to royalty. And then there's a pink one, the joy one, right? We'll light that next week. We know what that means. It's ugly sweater week. That's what you guys are thinking, but it's joy. Right? And then the center one, we'll wait till Christmas Eve. That's the white, pure candle representing Jesus Christ and purity. So last week we lit the first candle, which was, right, good. I like it when people are paying attention. And then again today we light the second candle, which is the candle of love. And so with that, we're going to transition. We have special guests with us this morning that were here with us back at the end of 2018 and are with us today. Now, the Whitten family, well, the Whitten couple, their family, not everybody's here today, but husband and wife are here today, and they're going to be sharing with us all the way from Israel in the Negev. And so, Rivka, if you come on up, and she's going to sing for us, and then her husband, George, is going to be sharing. And so I'm glad you guys could be with us here this day on this week of love.
Yeah.
So if you would give them your attention.
Thank you. You're welcome. I just love your pastor. I don't believe I've ever heard him speak before, but he's the real deal. I'm sure you guys know that. I love real deal people. But are you sure we're not celebrating Hanukkah over here? Because that's close. A couple more. So We hail to you from the town of Arad. It's out in the middle of the desert. My husband and I have been in ministry there for many years. I'm Israeli. I was born there. My whole family lives there. And we have these evening Friday night meetings that the Lord just gave me this idea to start cooking and inviting people. And for years now, it's been like 40, 50, 60 people. And we just invite the community. I'm talking about anybody who needs a place to eat or wants to join us. And we just worship and just love on people. And, you know, it's really simple. Just doing, talking about love, you know, it's just simple. Do what your God has gifted you with to love on people, and watch how he uses you to bring people into the kingdom. That's what this is all about, isn't it? And so this is a song, you know, is Jews like to sing about peace. They love peace, but peace, and there is no peace, right? And we actually live in a place where rockets are falling like 20 miles from us. So it's kind of crazy. Can you imagine calling your husband, your wife, your husband, your friends, saying, oh, are you okay, you know, 20 miles down the road because rockets are falling? Just yesterday, my app went off. I know when all the rockets are falling. So, but we pray, and this is a prayer from Jewish liturgy, for the peace of Israel, and I pray that you would pray it with me, even if you don't know the words. And if you do know the words, feel free to sing along with me. It's a song of peace, and you'll see the lyrics there. Okay. Oh, there it is. Okay. I was going to have to tell a joke.
Oh, say shalom.
You started it over.
Roma Huya se Shalom aleinu Ve al kol Israel Ve imru Shalom bimromah Hu ya'aseh shalom aleinu Ve'al kol Yisrael Ve'hu imeru amen Oseh shalom bimromah Hu ya'aseh shalom aleinu Oseh Kol Israel Ve'ilu Imeru Amen Yase shalom Yase shalom Shalom aleinu Ve'al kol Israel Turn the track up Yase shalom Yase shalom Shalom aleinu Ve'al kol Israel Oh Yase shalom Yase shalom, shalom aleinu ve'al kol Yisrael. Yase shalom, shalom aleinu ve'al kol Yisrael. Yase shalom, oh yase shalom, shalom aleinu ve'al kol Yisrael. Shalom aleinu the shalom, shalom aleinu ve'al kol Yisrael. Yahze shalom, yahze shalom, shalom aleinu ve'al kol Yisrael. Oh, yahze shalom, yahze shalom, shalom aleinu ve'al kol Yisrael. Yahze shalom, yahze shalom, shalom aleinu ve'al kol Yisrael. Hey, yahze shalom, yahze shalom, shalom aleinu ve'al kol Yisrael. Oh, yahze shalom, oh, yahze shalom, shalom aleinu ve'al kol
of peace.
Well, you know, my wife set the bar for me so high. I'm going to need it. Just out of curiosity, who gets my worthy briefs? Oh, great. There's a bunch of you. But there's a bunch of you that don't get it. It's free if you want to sign up. You know, I am from Baltimore, so that makes me a Baltimorean. We from Baltimore, we say, hey, hon, right? You know, I got radically saved when I was 25. I used to be a Grateful Dead head. I was traveling the country, seeing Jerry Garcia everywhere he was, and, you know, the Lord had a drunk driver hit me into a telephone pole. I didn't know exactly what was going to happen. You know, I woke up that night thinking to myself, what would happen if I would have died? When you're 25, you don't even think about death. And all of a sudden, you know, the Lord impressed upon me what would happen if I would die. And the irony was, I stumbled into a New Testament, got to the verse, was a prophet a man who gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, this gift of salvation that we have is so precious. We don't even understand that this gift is more than everything this world can give us. And praise God, I got radically saved when I was 25. I actually didn't go to a church for like 6 months. I was so concerned about false teachers and false prophets. And then when I walked into church, I thought everyone was like me. And it was quite a wake-up call. Then the Lord had me start this website called Worthy News. And it was found in the verse, watch ye therefore, and pray always that you may be found worthy to escape these things. You know, when we talk about a watchman, the ancient Hebrew word for watchman is the word notsrim. Can you say it with me? Notsrim. You've just said the modern Hebrew word for Christian. The ancient Hebrew word for watchman is the same modern Hebrew word for Christian. We're all called to be watchmen. It says in Ezekiel, the watchman doesn't sound the shofar, doesn't sound the alarm to warn that the king is coming. The blood is required at the watchman's hands. So we have a very serious calling. And then I may realize that the media really isn't the media like it was 20 years ago. I mean, it's very crazy how bad it is. It's almost like watching the National Enquirer on live TV. I mean, it's a very strange thing. And so we go through about 40, 50 newspapers a day, and I just try to find the facts. And the reason why is because the whole point of the Worthy Brief is so that you have your prayer bulletin for the day, so you know how to pray in the situations. And then finally, how many realize that the Lord is coming back really, really soon? So inside of it is also a little mini devotional. Now, I'm going to be talking about prophecy, right? I'm going to be talking about prophetic things, but I want you to understand, prophecy is not meant to freak us out, okay? It's not the end of the world for us. It's the beginning of the kingdom, right? All these things, you know, when Jesus said it would be nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, right? And then he says, see that you're not alarmed. See that you're not in fear, right? For these things must happen. Now, you have to understand that Hebraic thought is much different than Greek thought. And what I mean by that is Hebraic thought is cyclical, right? Greek thought is linear. And what I mean by cyclical, you know, there's 24 hours in a day. There's 7 days in a week. There's between 30 and 31 days in a month. There's 4 months, give or take, to a season. You know, then there's a yearly cycle. And so everything is cyclical. And we have this saying, right? History repeats itself. Well, that's not exactly true. History tends to rhyme because it's going in a cycle. And when you start understanding how God is, you know, bringing cycles about, you'll start looking at events in a much different way. Because, you know, quite frankly, right, God is at work trying to restore people from every tribe, nation, and tongue. It says in Romans that the fullness of the nations must come in before what? Before Israel comes in, before the Jewish people come in. So everything that's happened, wars and rumors of wars, right? If you actually study history, you actually start understanding how to pray into events, okay? I'll give you an example. Everyone, you know, we hear about North Korea a lot in the news cycle, right? It happens a lot. See, I actually think that that's actually replaying out. We're actually replaying like the 1980s all over again. Okay? Now, just out of curiosity, who was alive in 1980? Okay, good. Okay, so most people understand that in 1980 was a very different time, right? Because we had an actor running for president, right? And people said at the time, Ronald Reagan, I mean, you can't have an actor as a president. And he didn't really speak like politicians speak, right? Because he was in France in 1983 and he said, the Russians are the evil empire. You can't say that. People aren't evil, right? And when I was growing up, everything was about a nuclear bomb. Everything was about, you know, someone hitting the nuke button. And I mean, you know, there's a video we grew up with, a Genesis video called Land of Confusion. It's like this puppet of Ronald Reagan at the end of the thing. And there's a nurse button and a nuke button. And he hits the nuke button, right? I mean, there was like this overwhelming thought of nuclear war. Very strange thing happens because 1989, I'm graduating high school, right? Someone had chutzpah. Now, you know what chutzpah is? Chutzpah is doing like something with, you can't believe he did it. He's got this nerve, but he's got like this self-confidence like this. Someone had chutzpah and grabbed a brick off the Berlin Wall. And someone else saw him and he said, I got more chutzpah than he does, and he grabbed a brick. One day we woke up and the Cold War was over. There was no announcement. There was no big hurrah. There was no, all of a sudden it just came down. Right? Now, you, a believer in the 1980s, you could have been caught up in the media hysteria, right? You get caught up and say, oh, Lord, Lord, please don't let me die in a nuclear blast. Or you could have been starting to understand what God was doing, because God was at work trying to restore, ready? Because God loves the Polish people. God loves the Russians, right? You could have been praying into revival in those situations. What happens is when the Cold War ends, the Berlin Wall comes down. The revival is breaking out in Russia, in Poland, in Czechoslovakia. All these nations, all of a sudden, were coming in. Now, we have a very unique situation. We have a cycle coming up. A 70-year cycle is the restoration of nations. We see it when the Jewish people were exiled into Babylon. After 7 years, they returned back. 70 is kind of a big thing. Well, it was in 1950 was when the Korea War started in 1951, but it was the breaking up in 1950. So we're entering into a 70-year cycle. Now, we have a very young man as the leader of North Korea, right? He's not very wise because he thinks he can out-tweet the president, right? He sends out a tweet, I've got a bomb button. Now, we have a president, right? People say, you can't have this guy as a president. I mean, he was a reality TV show host, right? He doesn't say things like a politician says. And he sends out a tweet, I've got a bigger bomb button, and my bomb button works. Oh my goodness, we're going to war. I venture to tell you prophetically, I think we need to start praying into the salvation of the North Koreans because God loves them. We have a situation in the 1940s, revival started breaking out in South Korea. And you have to understand now that over 25% of South Koreans believe the gospel. Some of the largest churches in the world are in South Korea. I believe it's because of those believers, South Korea is blessed. My phone is a Samsung phone. Where was that made? South Korea. If you have a Kia car, it was made in South Korea. If you have an LG TV, that was South Korea. What do you think is going to happen when the North Koreans, for the first time after 7 years, walk in, them without God, starving, without any aspect of the gospel, walk into South Korea for the first time after 7 years? They're going to look at people and they're going to say, how is it that you're throwing away food? We've been starving. And they're going to say, how are you so blessed? And they're going to say, well, we believe in Jesus. See, I believe if you start understanding how God is at work, that God uses wars and rumors of wars to bring in nations, now you start understanding how to pray. Because right now, I believe there's a revival getting ready to break out in North Korea. I'm praying into it because I know my Bible says the fullness of the nations must come in. The situation in China, we've had riots breaking out for what? 6 months now. Do you realize it was in 1989 was Tiananmen Square? It's also 70 years since basically China was formed. So I believe there's something getting ready to break through in China. They're trying to suppress the gospel. It's actually lighting a fire for the gospel. There's now over 100 million believers that believe, but there's a lot more that need to come to faith. And so I believe that these things are happening because God is at work trying to restore. We look at the situation with Iran. I believe we're getting ready to go to war with Iran. Many people think that's not a good thing. I want to explain something. Actually, God has a plan for the restoration of Iran. One of the biggest revivals in the world is happening right now in Iran. In 1994, there was less than 100,000 believers, and now there's over 3 million believers in Iran. There is an explosion of the gospel taking place. They are trying to suppress it. This week, you know, last week, they killed over 1,000 protesters, right? It was the anniversary, right? It was 1979 of the revolution where they captured the U.S. embassy, right? Okay. Well, guess what happened in 2019? They start capturing tankers. You know, there is a cycle happening. There's a cyclical pattern. And we have to understand, how can we pray into these things? How can we start praying? Because God is at work. When the Lord says there should be nation versus nation, right? That word in Greek is ethnic versus ethnic. People are looking around in the United States today, and they're getting very focused on how basically the media is hyping up an ethnic war. I want you to understand something. We're actually in a civil war cycle. You have to understand. Ready? Now, I want you to go back with me. Who was alive in 1775? Okay, I see a couple smart Alex in the room. Good. 1775, right? When there were people, you know, in 1774, you know, there was a kind of a disturbance. 1775, most of the nation, when I'm talking about the United States, wasn't really for the revolution. There was a lot of loyalists that said, we shouldn't go against the king. It's not until 1781, basically when Yorktown falls, that all of a sudden everyone's on board because we don't need this king anymore. At the beginning, there was a division inside the country which way we should go. You jump 80 years, you got 1860 to 1864, we had the Civil War, right? That I don't have to explain that. You jump 80 years later, you got 1940. At the beginning of World War II, most Americans said, we don't need to be involved in Europe's war. We sacrificed so many soldiers in World War I for Europe's war. We don't need to be involved. It isn't until Pearl Harbor hits, which actually was yesterday. Is it today? Yesterday, okay. I don't know what day it is, but December 7th today? Thank you, Frank. Okay, gotcha. But anyway, it isn't until Pearl Harbor hits, right, that the nation rallies. You know, at the beginning of that war, most people don't realize that the United States actually gathered up every Japanese American and put them in internment camps. The nation was very divided. before that happens. It rallied, and then all of a sudden, we were able to overcome. Now, guess what? We're 80 years from that. We're in the fourth 80-year cycle. Is it no wonder that we're in a civil war cycle? But the question is, how will you respond to it? Because if you allow the media to start feeding how you react, that's not the Spirit of God feeding you. The media is steering the nation to this war because it's being directed, really, not by the King of Kings, not by the Lord of Lords. And so we have to understand these things are taking place, so how we respond. Look, I live in Israel, okay? Where I live in this town of Arad is probably the most persecuted town for all believers in all over Israel. We've had people protesting outside of our house. We've had tires slashed. We've had people spit on the face. We've had New Testaments burned in our yard. We've had all kinds of chaos happen. People don't understand. Like, you know, I have them come up to me, and they try to incite me, and I just smile on them, and I love them. They can't understand this. You know, when the Lord said, you know, turn your cheek and turn, give them the other cheek, it isn't about meekness or weakness, or it's about meekness, but it's not about weakness. It's about radical love. How can you love in the face of your enemy right at your face? That's the radical love that we have. We have this love through the Messiah that came to die for us. It's this radical love that's going to change hearts. You know, my Bible says that all of Israel shall be saved. It's a prophetic thing. When you start understanding prophecy, you start understanding how God is at work, you'll realize that Daniel, way back when, read Jeremiah's prophecy. He said, oh, the Jewish people are coming back after 70 years. Did he sit down and say, guess what, we're going home soon? No, he started praying radically. He started praying into the prophetic fulfillments of what God was getting ready to do. See, we're alive for such a time as this. How can we start praying into what God is doing? Because God is bringing revival everywhere. And this revival that's going to take place, this great harvest of harvests is what I call it. This harvest of harvests is going to take place with or without you. He doesn't need us. The question is, will you join into what God is doing? You're going to join into God's program. You're going to start praying into the kingdom. You're going to start praying in the message of the king. You know, Mordecai tells Esther these very strange words. He says to Esther, right? Deliverance is coming to the Jews. If you don't rise up, do not think deliverance won't come from another place. He literally says to Esther, you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You're alive here today. You're in this audience today for such a time as this. To hear this prophetic word, not doom and gloom. Yes, we hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. Understand that God is at work. God is at work restoring nations. God is at work restoring Israel. All these things must take place. The question is, how will we respond? Will we go ahead and jump into what God is doing, start praying into the prophetic word and saying, Lord, bring revival to North Korea. Lord, bring revival to China. Lord, bring revival to Iran. Lord, bring revival to Lebanon. Bring revival to Egypt. Bring revival to Europe. Bring revival here, Abba. That's what he's crying out for, because that's the heart of God. That's the message of the kingdom. So my heart's desire, my passion desire is that you really start connecting with what God is doing. Don't get caught up in the media. Don't get caught up in the hatred. Don't get caught up in, you know, every tweet that's being sent out. Start doing, let the Lord just download to you. Open up the word every day, and Lord, I want a fresh download. I want to be spoken to you by your Spirit. I want to see how I can pray into these situations. So, Abba, Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would seal this word. I ask you, Father, that you would pour upon every person here a fresh heart, Father, a revival. Father, I ask you, Lord, that you pour your Spirit upon them to give them fresh vision, Father, how to start praying into the salvation, the revival of the world. I ask you, Father, you place in the hearts of every person here a fresh heart and desire to pray for the salvation of Israel. And so, Father, we praise you, Abba. It's all because of your Son that we're even here. And so we praise you, Abba. We thank you. B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, amen and amen.